Hello, hello. Welcome to What to Read Wednesdays, your go-to podcast for staff picks from your friends at Delaware County District Library. Here, we'll talk about books, podcasts, and other relevant media. I'm your host, Annie Pasma.
Good morning, listeners. I'm excited to be behind this mic again talking to you about books. Well, and other things too. Because it is April and Summer Reading Club is just around the corner. Can you believe it? So crazy. Time just flies. This year, our virtual programs will be hosted on our website for the entirety of Summer Reading Club, so you can watch them at your leisure. I recorded my program last week, and I'm excited to have you all watch it. As vaccinations continue to roll out and the number of cases go down, DCDL is slowly opening up more, which is exciting. To keep up with all that's going on, sign up for our emails and definitely follow us on social media. I think that's it for all the housekeeping items. If I think of something else, I'll let you know. So this week, we have reviews. Since last episode, we did an interview with my friend Megan. So, of course, we're going to hear from our regular guest, Mark.
Hello, my name is Mark Stevens, and I work circulation at the Powell Branch. The book I'd like to recommend to you today is called The Murder of Roger Ackroyd by the great Agatha Christie. And I would recommend this book for just adult readers. First of all, I'm not a big reader of mysteries and crime fiction, but I'm a sucker for the label of classic. Good or bad, books critics say I should read pull me like a magnet. I kept reading that there were two must-read Agatha Christie novels, one being And Then There Were None, which I absolutely loved years ago, and which, if you haven't read, is a must-read. Trust me on this one. And then this book, The Murder of Roger Ackroyd. Before I started reading it yesterday, I did a little research and decided it was definitely worth reading as a possible podcast recommendation for you. Here are some very interesting facts. The book was written in 1926 and was the first of the author's works to be dramatized later on the theater stage. It starred the great Charles Laughton, who stands today as one of the great classic film stars. It was performed in 1928 in London for 250 performances. It was later made into a radio play starring Orson Welles, then later into a BBC series, and in 2007 was even produced as a graphic novel. The most significant distinction, however, is that in 2013, it was designated as the best crime fiction novel ever by the British Crime Writers Association. If you've read other Agatha Christie novels or seen movies based on her books, you'll be interested that this is the author's third book in which her amazing detective, Hercule Poirot, is featured. Some readers might, though, state that, sure, I like Hercule Poirot, but I prefer Agatha Christie's Miss Jane Marple books. Well, this book will be significant for those readers, too, because the narrator, Dr. Shepherd, has a sister named Carolyn, who Christie designs as a shrewd but gossipy woman, modeled after her own grandmother and great aunt. This character, a blend of two important Christie family members, in later books becomes Miss Jane Marple. Readers will love Carolyn in this book too, because she provides humor and common sense in the most British kind of way. I really enjoyed this book, mainly because of what it wasn't. It wasn't intense, blood-curdling, shocking, or thrilling. Now, many times I love those kind of books. But this was a nice, relaxing change of pace. It was kind of like watching an old classic black and white movie of the 1940s. With this book, you as a reader can focus totally on the very clever sprinkling of clues in a somewhat complex plot that has you guessing till the end. In fact, The end was a total jolt to me, and Christy completely tricked me with some false clues and red herrings, and I loved her for doing it. What a fun ride this book was. You might be wondering, well, is he ever going to talk about the plot? Well, yes, but not much. You see, typical of Christie's work, the characters aren't developed much, and the tricky plot is everything. I can't slip and give any spoilers, but I can say that in a small English village, rich Roger Ackroyd is murdered in his own locked study. And nine suspects have secrets that, of course, Hercule Poirot masterfully unearths. Suicide, drugs, murder, blackmail all enter the picture. Watch for the smallest details because the author is a master at giving you clues you will overlook. I really hope you give this book a try. It is a great change of pace from the more intense books we usually read. Plus, it's considered a landmark in detective fiction. The author herself felt that out of her 82 detective novels, this and her, and then there were none, had the trickiest plots to, quote, pull off. She also creates a brand new literary device common today for this novel, which I can't explain without giving too much away. I'm only mentioning it as another way to tempt you into giving this classic a try. It has only 289 pages and is available on Libby.
At my old job, we all had to read an Agatha Christie novel, and I read Murder on the Orient Express. Although I had heard of Agatha Christie, I mean, come on, you can't work in a library and not hear of Agatha Christie. I had never read any of her books, and I probably never would have if I hadn't been assigned one. And I'm so glad that I did read Murder on the Orient Express. It was such a good book. So I highly recommend you pick up an Agatha Christie book if you are in need of like something light. I know it usually has to deal with murder, but it's not grotesque or anything. You know, it's kind of like the murder happens off screen. So definitely pick up one of her books if you haven't read anything by her. Next, we're going to hear directly from our public relations director, Nicole Fowles.
Hi, I'm Nicole Fowles, communications manager here at DCDL. Today, I'd like to tell you about a book I just finished called The Farm by Joanne Ramos. Imagine you're recruited for a job where your room and board are paid for, chefs prepare you the healthiest meals and snacks, group fitness classes are led by some of the nation's top trainers, massages are a regular perk, your medical needs are provided for, and on top of everything else, you still receive weekly compensation along with regular intervals for bonuses. All these amenities are yours for about 9 months at Golden Oaks Farm, just long enough for you to act as a surrogate mother and carry a baby for one of the world's wealthiest individuals. Your roommates are also hosts, as they're called by the Golden Oaks Farm, who also carry for some of the world's 1%. These billionaires are used to maintaining complete control of their lives, so why should their outsourced pregnancies be any different? In The Farm, Joanne Ramos constructs a reality that is not too far from one that already exists today. It broaches topics of race and class, poverty and wealth, and asks the questions, how much of yourself are you willing to sell, and at what price? The story alternates chapters between characters. Some of those we meet include Jane, a timid Filipina immigrant who leaves her infant daughter with a relative, with a promise of a payout that will make a better life for them both. Regan, a white aspiring photographer who hopes her billion-dollar baby payday will free her from her father's control. And May, the ambitious, assertive, and smooth-talking director of Golden Oaks with big plans of her own on the horizon. A surefire hit with book groups, this striking novel will also appeal strongly to readers who like a small hint of dystopian touches and ethically complicated narratives. It's also an own voices story, as Ramos was born in the Philippines and moved to Wisconsin when she was just 6. This is her debut novel. I hope you enjoy Joanne Ramos's The Farm.
Next, Nicole came to my office a few weeks ago to talk about this book she read for her book group. And although she sounds even keel in this recording, she told me her book group had a lot to say about this. And there really are a lot of ethical questions that come up with this kind of plot line. So if you read it, let me know what you think. Thank you, Nicole, for that review. All right, so we're to the part where I talk about what I'm reading. I am finishing up the book Huguenot Garden by Douglas Jones. It's a children's book, probably for ages like, 8 to 12. This book was published by Canon Press a number of years ago, and I was contacted by Canon Press to turn it into an audiobook. So I'm just now finishing up with that book. Shameless plug here. If you want to listen to this amazing audiobook, I can hook you up. All right. What I'm listening to, have you listened to my interview with Megan? I mentioned the book Across the Nightingale Floor by Leon Hearn. It was a random book that I saw on the shelf, and I found the audio version, and I loved it. So good. The second book just came in, and I can't stop listening to it. I really love it. Really, really love it. I also just finished the book Mexican Gothic, and it was intense. Like, the first 6 hours had this wonderful build and felt very immersive. Like, it's set in the 1950s, I believe, in Mexico. The last 2 hours or so were pretty gross, you guys. It was kind of nasty. There were a few times where it made me feel pretty yucky. And to be fair, my threshold for that kind of stuff is pretty low. So for some people who like would read a Stephen King novel or I'm not super familiar with that kind of genre. So anyway, my threshold for that kind of stuff is pretty low. So take that how you will. Because of that kind of gross part of the storyline, I gave it 4 stars instead of 5. But it was overall really, really good. And you should probably read it. What I'm looking forward to is House of Hollow by Crystal Sutherland. I saw this book pop up on my Goodreads. The cover was so beautiful, I clicked on it and read that it was a retelling of a fairy tale. I was like, sign me up. I am a sucker for fairy tale retellings. It comes out tomorrow, and I am excited to read it. All right, folks, that's it for today. Again, email me if you have questions or comments, whattoread@delawarelibrary.org. Follow us on social media for updates and come into the main branch to see me. I love seeing people. Again, that's it for today. I'm your host, Annie Pasma. Thanks for listening.